welcome to Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast with your host, Tony Rice. Here, as always, the focus is on linking businesses with grassroots sports. And to tell you precisely how this new elite member of Koi Sports is doing that, it's an honour to welcome to the show Vanessa Chalice. Vanessa, how are you? Good evening.
I'm fine. I've survived another week. So I take that as a win. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great stuff. And Vanessa, we appreciate everything that you guys do and all of our members to assist so many people across the world doing phenomenal projects. We'll build on that. But want to learn a little bit about yourself and obviously there at Tiger Law. Tell me about how you got involved there and what it's all about.
Well, it's my law firm. I started it. And I started my own business in 2015, so just coming up to 7 years ago. I was pregnant with my third child at the time I started it. So in year one, I had the baby. And I kind of count how old my business is according to how old my son is.
Nice.
And 2 years into that, we turned from a legal consultancy into a law firm proper.
Okay.
So that we could offer lots more stuff that has to be regulated. So, yeah, that's how Tiger Law came about. And there are about 20 of us now, I think.
Well, goodness me. And that is a lady, an individual, not afraid of a challenge there. Goodness me.
No. Well, I mean, I think the bigger challenge for me was staying inside traditional practice.
Right.
As you can see, I was busting at the seams just to express myself.
Sure.
And that doesn't always go down very well when you're surrounded by people who are uber conservative.
Yeah.
Very traditional.
Yes.
This is the way it's always been done. This is the way we're going to continue to do it. And it just seemed to me always that there was a better way of doing it. COVID, actually, one of the silver linings is that it's moved that conversation on.
I think that's so powerful. But what I do value here, Vanessa, is I still say kudos to you, because an awful lot of people will experience that sensation. They might be in a environment which they're not happy with, and they know they're not happy about it. They might have conversations with their friends where they consistently moan about it. But then take the action, take the leap of faith. And I love that you did that. I guess, what would be your advice to anybody in any walk of life having those kind of sensations, those thoughts?
Well, I did get rather a large boot in that I lost my job because I was pregnant.
Gotcha.
I was the sole breadwinner in my family, so I had four, seemed to be five, mouths to feed.
Right.
One of them being my husband. I didn't have all of those kids entirely by myself. So I could have got another job in the law, I guess, but given my experience over time, that was the final nail in the coffin of my ever wanting to work for anyone ever again. So I suppose my main advice would be have faith in yourself. Mm-hmm. You only live once for a fairly short time, really, in the grand scheme of things. Make sure you're happy. Fulfill your potential. You owe it to yourself to fulfill your potential, and don't be scared. If you never take a risk, you can never win. So just do it. Don't get caught up in planning either. That's just a pit.
It is, isn't it? It's almost like it's the key to procrastination is the I'll do it one day when everything's right. And that right day never comes, but you seize the day. Carpe diem. Now, Tiger Law, again, literally a fully established law firm, been going now for several years. Give me an idea of some of the specialisms that you work with.
Well, my background's commercial litigation, so you would come and see me when things had gone horribly wrong. You were already stressed. I was the last person you wanted to speak to, and it seemed to me that it was, well, prevention is better than cure. So when I started up, I started drafting the contracts I had been ripping apart for years.
Right.
So I know where the grey areas are, the ambiguities, the bits which are going to lead clients into problems later on. So my focus initially was on keeping people away from people like me.
Right.
And it just happens, actually. I'm a bit fighty, so we do still do commercial litigation. So we specialise in M&A, okay. So that's buying and selling businesses, shares and assets, okay. Helping people grow. Commercial property, found a love for it, okay. And I'm very... passionate about learning and development and progressing people. Yes. So, yep, she's in a team of three or four now. We do employment in HR and then sort of standard commercial work, trading terms and conditions, sure. All of those things. And some private clients, so will writing, that started off as looking after our owner managers. So apart from residential conveyancing, most of our clients are entrepreneurs and owner managers. I guess because we get it. I live and breathe it. Yes. I feed my family from my business. So when I'm speaking to other business people, it's not academic. I get where their pressures and concerns come from.
We're living in a strange era, aren't we? I think they'll call it maybe the COVID-19 era, this pandemic time. And obviously, you kind of right in the middle of that. But the degree that these kind of business needs need to pivot, and obviously the legalities that that entails, have you found that this has been an especially busy period or an especially challenging period? How is this mapped on to your business world?
Yeah, I mean, right at the beginning, there were about six of us, and I thought, well, if the commercial work, if the corporate clients, and I'm not talking huge clients, but you know, good sized businesses, yes. If they stop spending on commercial legal work, which is a luxury product, what do? We need to focus on residential and stuff for individuals. Yes. Actually, it never dried up. So M&A work in the level that I work in, up to around 7 to 10 million,
yes.
But lots with no cash down. That's been the big change. So founders just wanting to get the hell out.
Yes.
They might have taken government loans. They don't want to think about paying those back. Just want to leave. They're walking away from their businesses on these really long periods of payment.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a buyer's market. They're hoovering up smaller businesses where the older guys just want to get out.
Gotcha.
So it's a different kind of work, but it's still there. That's lots of negotiating.
Yes.
And lots of businesses obviously are moving on or improving their online presence.
Yes.
So we do packages for people from startups through to older businesses where we review their website, we look at their GDPR stuff.
Yes.
We look at their trading terms and conditions online, offline, just make sure they're in a good place to be selling online. The other side of that coin, obviously, is that consumers are really genned up on what their rights are.
Yes.
And you want to make sure that your terms and conditions aren't cut and paste from someone else, and you're not doing some spamming when yes. You haven't got permission to be contacting people, that kind of stuff. So that's really boomed, online stuff.
It's a fascinating world because it must be ever-changing. It's almost like you say, this online world, this IP world, this sense of branding as well, provides such wonderful opportunities. But if it's not managed well, it can be a minefield, can't it? So I guess you must always be kept on your toes, Vanessa.
Yes, always. And as a business owner, of course, spotting those different trends, and then because often business doesn't end up blossoming where you thought it would, but this other thing that you hadn't anticipated just goes bang. So you have to be really mentally agile. So for example, the stamp duty holidays, who anticipated that? Well, the pressure that my property team was under,
sure.
And getting more work from other conveyancers who can't work as quickly as we can. So it just flooded in. I mean, my head of conveyancing had to take a week off when the stamp duty turned back on. So it's just being mindful of this path that you think you're on. Who knows what's happening next month? And it's having the you know, fortitude, just say, okay, now I need to recruit there. This isn't looking too hot. What do I do about those costs? While you're actually delivering work as well and managing, yeah, crazy times.
But opportunistic times too, I feel. And also, I think a really good time when we become more mindful of what we really value. And I think of partnership. And we value the fact, Vanessa, that you are there at Tiger Law, have become a key member of Koi Sports and are doing some great work to assist a great cause. We'll touch on that in just a second. But how on earth did you get involved with Koi Sports?
Well, I mean, the other silver lining is I had started going onto LinkedIn a few months before COVID hit. So I thought I shouldn't be resting on my laurels. I really should be getting out there a little bit more. And actually, it became a lifeline to lots of us, didn't it, business-wise. And I've just met the most fantastic people. So Mike Roberts at Pharma has got a network of like-minded, very positive people.
Yes.
And Dave is one of them. And so out of that network, I had a one-to-one with him. And I was just very impressed from the outset as to what Koi was up to, because I'd been having conversations previously about the parallels between business and sport anyway, the mentality, the militant positivity, the get up and do it attitude that sports people have to have. So by the time I met Dave, I was well into thinking about sport. Mm-hmm. As an avenue for youngsters, particularly to find different opportunities. And it just seemed such an obvious thing to do to help support this amazing network that the guys are growing.
I love the fact, though, that once again, you illustrate the fact that you are kind of attuned to a new way. And then it's strange, isn't it, that when you become mentally aware of a certain realm, that all of a sudden these amazing connections seem almost by magic to come into effect, don't they?
Yes. I was having this conversation this afternoon, actually, with another contact of mine, Perul, who works in that. Oh, she's a sports lawyer, but she's looking at elite sports mentality and how that applies to the law and training lawyers. And we were saying about the positivity that you put out there, and you just throw it out there and you become open, and without realizing it, you're attracting things to you without getting touchy-feely, which I'm not really, although maybe I am. It's just giving stuff away, give it away, give away your education, give away your experience and your value. Stop trying to hide it like this, like lawyers traditionally do. They don't want you to know the magic that they're up to. And I'm all about giving it away. And suddenly you attract this host of amazing stuff.
For me, it's really simple in this, because you can get somewhat esoteric when you begin talking in these lines. But I think about it almost at a very, very simple principle. It's reap what you sow syndrome, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Exactly that, in a nutshell.
Well, it is powerful, and we're delighted to have you as a key member here. Obviously, it is all about sport, but there is a bigger picture. And you know, later in this podcast, we're going to hear from the amazing Chris Lomas, and who is doing truly amazing things. And I know your membership support will strongly be assisting that. Just give us a bit of a snapshot of how you chose that particular organization to support.
Well, I mean, how could I not? Yeah. I was invited to co-host one of the Koi radio shows, and it just so happened it was the episode on which Chris was introduced. So I did my little bit with Dave, and that was great. And then I listened to Chris, and it was incredible. Just incredible. How could you not fall in love with what this couple is doing?
Absolutely.
I mean, the significant change to their own lives. They uprooted themselves. They moved countries.
Yes.
Who does that? It's incredible. And then as I got to know him and some of the stories and the images, how he describes the state he finds these children in,
yes. It's
just heart-wrenching. So to me, it was a complete no-brainer.
He's doing tremendous work, and later in this podcast, you will hear from Chris Lomax over at Reach My Street. As you rightly say, he literally moved to Moldova, known as the sex trafficking capital of planet Earth, and he's truly doing remarkable things. And your support is gratefully received. It truly, truly is, Vanessa. Coming back though quickly to Tiger Law, as we've kind of discussed tonight, a very dynamic, kind of fluid working environments. Again, your mental acuity and agility must constantly be tested, as if you are some kind of legal gymnast, to use a sporting kind of analogy. I guess though, we're at this time of year, I know we're looking forward to Christmas, but it's also where certain individuals, I'm sure you're one, begin contemplating and taking stock and looking forwards with big goals. Do you have, not necessarily resolutions, I'm sure you know they fizzle out, but certain targets that are key for 2022?
Well, that's interesting that you said that. So one of the things I've learned from sports recently, and we supported a Team GB boxer who went out to Tokyo, so very close connection there, is that motivation comes and goes. It's discipline that stays. Mm. It's discipline that's key. So you get up and do it, whether you feel like it or not. Don't rely on feeling like doing something. Just do it. You know, but yeah, so my big goals, and I've had this one fizzling around for a while, it hasn't worked out this year. I wanted to be largely off the tools by Christmas. That ain't happening. But my idea is, I've got a legal tech company that's in the market now, and we should have some big contracts coming through next year. That's been 2 years in the making, and an HR company that I'm rebranding and relaunching shortly across all of these things. It's all with the desperate urge to make myself obsolete and retired as soon as possible. So in 3 years, I'm going to be 50. And at that time, I do not want to be working like this. I want to be doing the more fun stuff, these conversations, meeting clients, going on boozy lunches when we're allowed to, hopefully.
We will be.
Forever now. and just relaxing a bit. I didn't start this firm to take over the world or achieve anything in particular. When I lost my job when I was pregnant, I needed to support my family and replicate my salary, really. But this has happened. And I've now got nearly 20 people relying on me, as well as my family. But it needs to take a life of its own. So that's, and it is, you know, a year and a half ago, I realized I didn't know all the clients by first name, which is a really big turning point for a business owner. So, yeah, that's it. Sustainability for everyone in the team, everyone who's worked so hard to make it what it is.
Well, look, those sound phenomenal ambitions. And I think you've got the discipline and the kind of awareness of your own story to make all of that come to pass. Just for now, though, it has been a joy to appreciate learning a little bit about you and the trajectory that Tiger Law began and continues on. Where can we learn more about Tiger Law? What's the best website?
So that's tiger-law.com. And you will find the team in our Twitter and our Insta handles. I'm quite new on Insta. I get stuck in reels, don't you?
Oh, goodness me, yes.
Hours of it. It's so funny. But yeah, we're all over the show, really. LinkedIn.
Perfect. Once again, remind me of that key website.
So it's tiger-law.com.
Perfect. Vanessa, as I say, a genuine joy to enjoy your company. Is there anything in closing that you'd like to bring to our attention or just crystallize in our minds at all?
Really, it's just get involved in a small way. I mean, it's just all of us taking responsibility and believing that each one of us can make a difference. Even if it's small or you think it's small, actually the ripple effect is huge. So just step up and do something.
Absolutely. Well said, that lady. And what I appreciate vastly is that you live those words, and that's why you're in a wonderful place, and I wish it to continue. Vanessa, thank you once again for your time and company. And again, I wish you and yours a joyous festive time and all the best beyond.
Thanks so much.
So just a bit earlier in this podcast, it was awesome to speak with Vanessa Chalice from Tiger Law, who has become a sponsor at Koi Sports, and her sponsorship is helping massively the phenomenal team at Reach My Street. It's now a real honour to welcome to Koi Sports Podcasting, Chris Lomas from Reach My Street, who is doing sensational work, really important work. I look back personally on my childhood with nothing but misty eyes and kind of miss those days. I think we assume, don't we, that childhood is those time where play and kind of growth and development are at the core. For sadly, all too many people, that is simply not the reality. To help shift that, though, to improve lives of so many people, it is a pleasure now to welcome Chris Lomas from Reach My Street. Chris, good evening. How do you do?
Good evening, Tony. I'm good, thank you. And thank you for that introduction. It's, it conjures up so many emotions and so many thoughts and responses, but it's nice to be here.
It's a pleasure and an honor to be joined by you. Truly it is. Look, like I say, for me, when I look back on my own personal childhood, it's just nothing but just joy, very privileged. And I never lose sight of that. But just give the context, please, of Reach My Street. What is your mission and what you've already achieved in a very short amount of time?
Thank you. So my wife and I moved to Moldova, which is Europe's poorest country, back in February. So we've been here just over 9 months. And the reality with Moldova is it's Europe's poorest country. And because of that poverty, it's suffering a chronic economic migration, which means it's actually experiencing depopulation. And what happens is anyone with any gift or talent is taking those gifts and talents out of the country, typically leaving children behind to either be brought up by aging grandparents or to be left into the system. And the shocking truth is that 95% of Moldova's orphans aren't actually orphans, they're abandoned children. And we're seeing situations where, if we just focus on the orphan side for a second, where we're seeing children growing up in the most inhumane circumstances and situations. For example, we came across twin sisters recently who were being brought up in a hole, and they would watch their mum prostitute herself on a daily basis until the authorities stepped in and rescued them. And we're coming across extremes. You know, I've gotten used to walking into people's houses and crying with the circumstances that are presenting themselves. So not only are we supporting orphans, but really impoverished families as well, who really struggle to make ends meet.
I mean, the tragic reality of that is that some of that context is almost forced upon. I think I was reading on your website that the average salary in Moldova is something like $230 a month. And I mean, you know, that's just crazy. So it is almost a case, like you say, if there is the skills or the talent to kind of move, they call it a brain drain, don't they? But, you know, this is just eye-opening and really, really tragic. Generally, but of course it is this festive period of time where most of us are getting a bit festive. I mean, goodness me, just again, just give me a few more experiences of what you've had to deal with and the progresses that you are making.
And we're making progress, we know it gets chilly in the UK, right? And we complain if it gets, you know, 2-3 degrees below zero. In Moldova, they go a little bit further. When we arrived back in February, it was touching temperatures of minus 30. And the truth is, fuel is as expensive here as it is in the UK. And when you're earning upwards, I mean, people on $230, $250 a month are really amongst the higher paid people. I mean, we're now beginning to see that the average is actually much lower. It's around £150 per month, which is not sufficient, particularly when you consider that to heat the average home, they're burning through around £250 worth of fuel a month in minus 30 degrees. And most people's cooking is and their heating is all from the same fuel source. So they have these special walls that have got cookers built into it, and they have to put wood and coal into the furnace to heat everything, to eat, to live, to heat, you know, to heat their homes. It's all fuel from these places. And so as we go into the festive period, it's not so festive for a lot of people over here. A, because Christmas is a foreign concept, not in terms of, you know, they don't celebrate it, but they've got no reason to celebrate it because they can't provide the children with the toys and different things that, you know, we're accustomed to in the developed world. But it's a case of survival for most people. So why celebrate something when you're simply trying to survive? And we want to change these things. Yeah.
And are doing that. I mean, I think since 2019, when this kind of labor of love began there at Reach My Street, I think you've already been instrumental in creating and developing 50 homes. And I know that that's, you're looking to double that. Just give us a sense of the reward that that does provide and the genuine life improvements that you're already making.
So we support an organization that has built 50 homes. So we provide mentoring, we provide financial support, and we're only beginning to scratch the surface. So we're providing practical support to more than 50 homes now, and also to orphan crisis centers. We're working with a Moldovan entrepreneur who lives in the UK to look at building a vocational academy to take children who are aging out into vocational education to guarantee them a job at the end. We're also, so that means we're touching the lives of about 350 orphans. And the other thing that we haven't necessarily touched on yet is the fact that Moldova is the world's human trafficking capital of the world. Per capita. Yes, there's more people being trafficked from places like the US and China and India, but not as a percentage of the population. It's estimated that 10% of the population have been trafficked at some point. And we've got involved with that as well. We're setting up educational programs to highlight the dangers and to prevent people from becoming victims in the first place, which has also meant we've already closed down one human trafficking ring. Which makes us incredibly unpopular. You know, we sometimes have to just make sure we're safe.
And, I was going to say, I can imagine some fairly unsavory characters are not exactly delighted that you are being this beacon of hope in this context. Once again, you know, I sometimes find myself, and I think it's human, getting a little bit, oh, this hasn't worked as I would have liked, or et cetera, et cetera. And we come now, and they are literally first world problems, aren't they? You know, we watch Hollywood movies like Taken, but I would imagine that that doesn't even come close to the reality that you're working with there.
Yeah, do you know, organized crime is a little bit more subtle than the movie Taken, which, out of curiosity, now with our new perspective, we actually watched that the other night. And gangs are more subtle. What they do is they lure victims away for jobs that don't exist. So, and when you're coming from a poverty perspective, I was having a conversation with someone in Chisinau today, and they were explaining a situation where a beauty pageant was set up, and that's so cynical because you're appealing to a, particularly girls, you're appealing to a girl's identity and how they see themselves, and and you're progressing them through a beauty pageant only to select the most beautiful girls, which you then traffic. And so the modus operandi is that they will advertise for jobs. And they will say that we need waitresses and waiters in places like Greece and Dubai and even the UK. Mm-hmm. And these young people who are struggling because of poverty apply for these jobs. They think they're successful. Yeah. Of course, everyone's always successful. Yeah. And what they do is they get them across borders and they take their passport off them. And we all know the story then. You know, some of these precious children are just subject to the most unimaginable conditions and circumstances. And so whilst we're not necessarily involved in the rescue of these precious children yet, we're all about preventing the crime from ever happening.
How endemic is that scenario? Because once again, we can't even begin, I don't think, truly, to appreciate the pull of desperation. When one is desperate, you will do desperate things. And these alluring things must seem like, opportunity knocking. It's absolutely heinous. Are these sort of nefarious groups who organize this, are they working to a degree in conjunction with government? Of course, that would never be overtly agreed. Or is it, as you say, a little bit more subtle than that? Just give me a sense of how endemic this situation is.
Well, Tony, you'll appreciate I have to be so careful what I say and what I see. The great thing for Moldova is Maia Sandu, the country's new president, it has an anti-corruption platform, which we're really excited about. We support. My wife and I are already on Moldovan TV. Mm-hmm. We have been offered our own business program because we're much about addressing the need, but also the opportunity. And there's an imbalance in NGOs sometimes where they're all about addressing one aspect, but not the other. And we're very much about doing both, using my skills as an entrepreneur, my wife's skills as a talented teacher. But it's definitely true of a lot of nations where, you know, these gangs carry such influence, particularly where there's historically perhaps a corrupt regime, that they will exploit that corruption, which I think is why Moldova has the unenviable title as the human trafficking capital of the world. But we want to change that. The government's doing their bit. We want to do our bit. We want to identify issues and then get the education in place to prevent people from becoming victims in the first place.
I truly salute you, and I love the fact that you and your wife's twin diverse skills here are really working in unison for such an important mission, really. We're delighted here at Koi Sports that we can offer just a little bit of support. But within that bigger context, you allude to their developments. But give me a sense of how critical partnerships are for yourself as you champion this cause, as you really look to shift the narrative and educate people beyond where we're at present.
Yeah. Do you know, we've achieved a lot in the 9 months we've been here. And whilst people are very quick to congratulate us, we always say that the true heroes are those that equip us to be able to do what we do. You know, if no one was supporting us, then there would be very little we can do. If every action has an equal and opposite reaction, every pound we raise has an equal and opposite action in changing lives. Vanessa, for example, she got it instantly, and you know, she has knowledge of the issue in Albania as well, and Vanessa instantly became an advocate, and you know, we need advocates, we need ambassadors who will beat the drum, and even if people can't support us in the same measure that Vanessa and Koi Sports has, then you can still be an ambassador, you can still raise awareness for us. Because we proved that with effort and tenacity and with a little bit of cash behind us, we can transform lives. And certainly every penny that we raise is spent on the purpose for which it's given. I know a lot of people are very cynical around charities. You know, you hear really crazy stories that, you know, 80% of what charities raise is spent on raising the other 20%. That's not us. You know, we're proud to be able to say that we're spending every single penny on the purpose for which it was given, because we take the fact that people are supporting us very, very seriously. And we always talk about the fact that they are entrusting their money to us to make a difference, and we are.
Absolutely making a critical difference. And I know you will continue to do that. And we are delighted here at Koi Sports to be associated with people like Vanessa, who are assisting as best as we can. But literally, every single penny will change lives. It feels 100%. Massively appropriate, Chris, to just give you an opportunity, please, to educate us all about how we can learn more about the awesome work you do at Reach My Street and potentially offer a little bit of support down the road too. What's your best website?
So reachmystreet.com is our website, and on there it gives various different ways that individuals and corporations can get involved. You know, we have different sponsorship programs, and we just want people to get involved. We want people to change lives. Our latest initiative is to invite schools to become pen pals. Brilliant. So where children from developed nations start writing to children from Moldova, orphans from Moldova, and then at some point in the future, we'll say to the parents, this wonderful child that your child has been writing to needs help. And we think that's going to be a really great way of raising awareness and funds.
Priceless. You cannot put a price on that. I think that's absolutely phenomenal. Another thing that really touched me, just doing a little bit of research into you guys, was the Reach My Street Kids Endeavor. And I think two young people in particular, Hudson and Madeline, I believe, are really proving key ambassadors, key players in the kind of 360 of what you guys are all about. Just give us an insight into that aspect of the Reach My Street project.
So yeah, RMS Kids was the brainchild of Hudson and Madeline, who happened to be my niece and nephew. They live in the States. My sister lives over there with her husband and Hudson and Madeline. And they were, they became touched by what we were doing very early on. And they said to their mom, you know, we want to get involved. We want to. And they actually wrote a song. We're going to be releasing that song soon. They wrote a song and put it to music. My sister's a talented singer-songwriter. So they wrote a song and they performed it. And really, it was just to raise awareness. And so we're going to, I don't know how we're going to do it right now, but we're going to try and do a pay-per-view on that song, you know, just a nominal amount to see how much we can raise. And it's actually Hudson and Madeline's school who are pioneering this pen pal scheme. So they're going to get all 95 of their children to write to 95 of our children as a way of just raising awareness and funds.
Just really heartwarming there. That's what it is all about. And again, every single penny of this phenomenal initiative here is genuinely saving lives. Obviously, we've spoken and it's focused in that kind of Moldova, sadly, the known as the, I guess, the capital of trafficking. Also, I think working with Romania too. But the issue is global, isn't it? I think sadly something like 5,700 people or children are orphaned daily. And as you said, Chris, it isn't necessarily a straight case of just tragically losing parents. Sometimes parents will, for needs-must scenarios, leave children. Again, the global context here is important for us not to lose sight of, I think, I feel.
100%. I was actually a founding member of the Slave Free Alliance, which seeks to eradicate a modern day slavery from supply chain. And the Slave Free Alliance is run by an incredible organization called Hope for Justice. These guys are the ones that will be banging down doors and rescuing people. And we share the common goal. This isn't just a Moldovan issue. It's not just a Romanian issue. It's a worldwide issue. Right early on, I had someone reach out to me and say, this isn't my problem. Someone from the UK who will remain anonymous. And I said, how do you measure that? How do you figure that out? And they said, well, it's an Eastern European issue. And he's right in as much as a lot of the victims are Eastern European, but the reality is there's people in the UK living doors away from someone who has been trafficked. This isn't a far off issue. This is a local issue that affects every nation in the world, because the person you're going dropping the kids off at school, they could be, anyone could be under forced labor, and it takes various forms, as you've already said, Tony. So this isn't an Eastern European issue. It's not a Moldovan issue. It's not a Romanian issue. It's a worldwide issue. And if we've got a pulse, then we have a common objective to eradicate this heinous crime that is making individuals billionaires, and it's wrong and it's got to stop. And you can see that I get passionate about this stuff.
I value your passion, and I think honestly I can merely salute you. As you understand, you live and you breathe this. Sadly, there is no magic wand, is there, Chris? There is this is going to be a huge challenge that I know you are living and know you're committed to. Just give me an idea, though, nevertheless, because I think you're also a man who understands the power of what is possible when people unite, energized behind an important mission. Just give me an insight, please, into the vision. The vision, if we could get close to waving a magic wand.
Okay, so let me talk about Moldova for a second. It's a country of less than 3 million now, and the figure keeps dropping. That's a city in the UK. I believe we can change a city. I believe we can change a nation. There's that saying, isn't there, for evil to prevail, it takes a good man to do nothing. Well, there's a good man here, and there's a good woman in my life, and several people in this country that are willing to do something. We no longer live for ourselves. We live for others, and we want to express love and hope to an entire nation. We can do this with people's help.
Do you know, I just love, I've got a feeling it's a smarter man than me, Einstein, kind of was responsible for that fantastic quote there. Might be wrong on that. Don't quote me on that one. But nevertheless, I'm fascinated on this on a human level, because I love your mission and I feel your passion. And I know, like you've said, that this is basically transcending Chris Lomas and family. But loving the family is a family affair, this mission. Nevertheless, when you do witness improvements, Chris, it must be rewarding to appreciate that you are baby stepping and genuinely making ground changing differences here.
It has to, and I'll explain why. Because now we're covering different time zones. So we're 2 hours ahead of the UK, 7 hours ahead of Eastern America. We've got people in Australia. That means I'm now communicating across several time zones, which means I'm working on average, and this isn't a woe is me. There can be no woe is me. We're working around 16 hours a day on average. And you can't do that unless you're seeing results. And we're just about to launch an initiative where we're saying to sign off on your CSR program, send someone to Moldova. We'll put them up. We'll put them up for a week, but just come and walk in our shoes for a week and see the issues that we face and how, with support, we are changing lives on a daily basis. That is what motivation looks like. That is what gets us out of bed in the morning. That is what propels us through the most horrendous situations. That's what makes what we do worthwhile, because we're seeing it every single day. We're bringing hope. Do you know, we're not massively changing people's circumstances. We're giving them hope. And I'll tell you what, hope is one of the most dangerous things in the world, because you know, it's fascinating with hope.
It was one of the things, the last thing that was kept in with Pandora's box when all the other evils of the world were unleashed metaphorically. Hope was contained, and I've always found that very suggestive.
Yeah, well, we're unleashing hope now. we're pulling hope, kicking and screaming out of that box, and we are just bringing hope to people who, before we met them, had no hope. And I tell you what, you see people's lives change. You see smiles on people's yep. faces. Yes, their circumstances are still tragic, but when they have hope, they're smiling.
You've put a massive smile on my face, Chris. You've truly inspired me. Once again, please remind me, remind everybody listening of how we can learn more about the amazing work that you continue to do. Tell us the website and, yeah, just remind us of the best way to engage.
So it's reachmystreet.com. And if someone wants to reach out and say, I want to help, then we've got a dedicated email, help@reachmystreet.com. And we'd love to hear anyone. If you've got fundraising ideas, there's a small church, a tiny church, in a place called Fleckney, who raised £1,000 doing an auction of secondhand goods from a tiny church. Anything's amazing. Possible. Anything's
and,
possible.
And just a reminder, once again, literally every single penny will go back out to helping and seriously unleashing hope and improving the circumstances of so many people. I want to remind everybody, me personally, I know that I've just been so honored and privileged beyond just desserts for the upbringing I've received. I know childhood, therefore, for me, is when I look back upon it with misty eyes and nothing but glee. Sadly, that is simply not the reality of all so many people. Chris, please, once again, tell us how we can engage with you and help you continue this crucial work.
So reachmystreet.com, you take your choice. There's child sponsorship, house sponsorship, corporate sponsorship, but whatever you give us will make a material difference in someone's life.
Absolutely tremendous. Honestly, Chris, I salute you. You've truly inspired me. Before I let you go, and honestly, I could talk to you forever in a day, is there anything else you'd like to address or just crystallize in our minds at all?
Just that the power is in the listener's hands right now. People often think because some things are in a far off country, they can't make a material difference. But whatever is entrusted to us puts smiles on faces, it puts food in people's bellies. It means that in sub-zero conditions, people have warmth. If ever there was a time and an opportunity to make your mark on a desperate nation, it's through Reach My Street.
Beautiful. And again, a big thank you. You do amazing things. I know you're going to continue
thank
doing
so
that.
Much.
To you and family, I salute you. I love the fact that, again, sort of nieces are involved, and I look forward to hearing their great work too.
Yeah.
Keep up the great work, Chris. I know
Tony,
you will.
Thank you.
Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
This has been Tony Rice for Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. If you like what you've heard and are interested in becoming a member of Koi Sports CIC, or simply looking for more information about all our phenomenal members and, of course, the amazing work being done here, take a moment and simply visit www.koisports.co.uk. I'll repeat, that's www.koisports.co.uk. And be sure to listen in next week for another Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.